From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. Happy New Year. You may be hearing this on New Year's Eve, and we hope that you have a safe and wonderful holiday. And if you're not here until January 1st, congratulations. Welcome to 2019. We are very, very excited, and we have a lot to be thankful for. Starting with all of you, we want to say a special shout out to everyone, all of our subscribers, everyone who has helped us along this 2018 path. We hit a major milestone. One of our goals that seemed very lofty when we began, for Chris and I, and Chris will join us here in a little bit. We're going to be talking some more with Matt Derrick about what the Chiefs did to close out the regular season. But Chris and I started together at a small, small website that didn't get much traffic, and we grew and we moved around, and we've been growing this podcast since we started it. Thankfully that Chris was able to join me. The idea of a podcast 4 years ago when we first started, when I first got this off the ground, was kind of a little bit strange, but he jumped on board, and we've been going ever since. Thanks to you all, in 2018, we officially broke 1 million listens. And that's how many times people have listened to this show and gotten something out of it that allowed them to enjoy their day and their Chiefs fandom a little bit more. So we want to take this second right now, a sincere thank you to all of you who have been downloading, who have been subscribed, that have been giving us input, helping us to improve iTunes reviews, the phone calls, everything. Very much appreciated, and we will continue to have great content for you, more guests, more diverse guests, so that we can get a better view, especially as this team has a chance to be very successful for the first time in a while in the postseason. We will see what happens, but that brings a whole new slew of analysts and fans and all kinds of things. So we promise to you to continue to expand and continue to fight to make the show even better. But for right now, being the Locked On Network, we want to make sure that we say thank you to every single fan and all of you fans that come over from other shows as well. It's been a great year, and we're going to have an even better 2019. So that said, welcome to Playoff Talk. The Chiefs played quite a doozy. I was there in the stadium. If you missed the RGR post games, check those out on YouTube. Some heartfelt and immediate reaction, as well as some more thoughtful things. Chris and I are going to talk here about what we didn't cover in last night's reaction show, and that is the surprise that we got, even against a diminished foe in the Oakland Raiders, just how well that defense played.
Ryan, before we get into the defensive talk, I have to say, how much did you enjoy your boy Sherman getting that big first down early in the game, and then I don't know if you saw it from where you were sitting, but he caught a pass later in the game, I think in the fourth quarter. We actually went and jumped up to go catch the ball. It was just kind of funny to watch him do.
Hey, sausages can jump. I'm just saying it out loud. But I tell you what, I got a kick out of, because thank you. There are a couple of Locked On Chiefs fans, and thank you guys for hanging out with me today. They were in my section as I was watching that, and I'm lined up literally looking down the line of scrimmage just before that first pass to Sherman, and he's lined up on the wing. And I said to the guy next to me, hey, just watch out for the kind of like slip wheel route here from 42. And he's like, really? And then he caught the ball and it was about perfect. I was happy for him. I was happy to see him get a nice look early in the game.
Oh, by the way, yeah, Matt,
sending Anthony Sherman out on a slant over the middle. That's just trolling.
Matt, I have to ask the question, you know, have you ever seen a slot receiver Sherman size?
No, I'm not sure I've ever seen a slot receiver with the measurables across the board of Anthony Sherman.
All right. It's a good time, and I, for one, was happy to see it. So,
all right, Ryan, go ahead. Let's talk about this defensive effort that I'm sure you enjoyed.
You know, I did enjoy it. I was struck by a couple of things. First, I felt like the inside linebackers, again, credit to Bob Sutton, because I felt like he rotated situationally well again.
Did you say credit to Bob Sutton?
Yeah. Hey, the guy finally started listening to me.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Reggie Ragland played well on first down.
That's bad for you, right?
Right? Yeah, right. Hey, it was a good thing. I thought he was responsible and very productive in using the linebackers for what they're strong at. Use Reggie on first down. You saw him immediately come out for Dorian O'Daniel when it was a coverage type situation on second down. I thought that was very mature. Use your personnel correctly. I thought I saw a lot more aggression out of Ragland, not just on that interception, but generally trying to fill those holes. And I thought Travarius Ward stood out to me today as well. I know you saw the same thing, Matt, but what were your takeaways?
Yeah, I thought the corners played really well. Ward, I think, had a couple of passes broken up. He and Fuller together, I think, had 21 tackles. Kendall Fuller had 12 tackles total with one arm. I mean, because that the kid's still wearing the pretty, pretty hefty brace there on that hand.
Well, and a couple of those were in the backfield too, right? If I remember.
Oh, good grief! That off that reverse, he had a huge play, maybe a touchdown saving tackle on that play, breaking that thing up. It looked like he was going to go for a big gain, and he got a hand on the guy and got him down. Fuller. I just have to, give him props for the toughness to be able to play as well as he did. Even not going against Seattle last week when they gave him the late scratch, but, still coming back this week. I mean, just 2 weeks after the surgery on that hand and playing as well as he did and delivering some of the hits that he did. He and Fuller, I think you saw some more toughness and more speed from that position than we've seen most of the season. Hey, the Raiders picked on Ward. That's what they're going to do. I mean, you're going to go after the guy that's got the least amount of experience. And yeah, he yielded some catches, but he wasn't giving up a lot of yards after the catch. He was making some big hits. Those are things that were not always happening on this defense earlier in the season.
Well, and I got to point out a play, and I don't remember if it was third down, it was third quarter or fourth quarter, but it was like third and 18. And Jordy Nelson, I believe, caught a ball out to the right. And like 8 yards downfield, and it's him and Ward one on one. And Ward just stopped in his tracks, lowered his shoulder, got into his body, and took him straight down to the ground. And that's a play that we haven't seen from most of Kansas City's corners this season. And that is the type of play that you have to have on something like that. On most games, that would end up being a first down. He'd break that tackle and it'd end up being a first down, but Ward made sure to get him down to the ground. I was impressed by that play.
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of young guys, especially coming from, like Middle Tennessee State, tackling is going to be probably the tough thing for Fuller, especially since he's still kind of growing. I think he's, he probably runs about 6'1", 190. He's still pretty thin. He's got some muscle. I mean, he's been in the weight room, so there's not a problem there. But he's an aggressive guy. I mean, he's got some toughness to him. So even though he's got some growing to do and I think some bulk to put on, he's not afraid to get his nose in there. He's not afraid to hit. He's got a ton of speed. He is quick. So I think just the more he plays, the more that he sees, I think there's really good, potential with this kid. And he's certainly given this defense what Andy Reid wanted. I mean, they needed a little bit of juice in this defense, and he's bringing it right now.
And you're talking Ward, right? Because I think you said Fuller. Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Ward.
Okay. I just want to make sure I was on the same page.
Well, it's a good spot. Now that we are on the same page, let's take our first break.
I have to ask the question because I saw him show up multiple times and lay hits that I haven't seen him do most of the season. What did you guys think of Anthony Hitchens today?
I thought Anthony looked pretty explosive. I thought he was putting himself in some good spots. I know he put a really nice shot on the Jalen Richard on one play. I thought overall he looked maybe a little bit more aggressive than we have seen in the last few weeks.
I agree. I thought he took off well, made his reads and reacted to them quickly, much more so than we've seen lately. Missed a couple of tackles, but I think overall was in much better position to make a play than he has been, say, during the midseason run there. Another guy that I wanted to see some, and I'm really interested to hear Matt's opinion because he showed up in some ways very well, and a couple of ways he got trucked at one point, and a guy that I thought played really up and down. I'm interested to see what you think, Matt, is Jordan Lucas. What was your takeaway for him?
Yeah, when you said truck, I knew you were talking about Jordan Lucas, because boy, he did get trucked on that play, which really surprises me because he's a tough energy guy. So and he's strong. So I kind of was surprised to see him kind of get in a spot like that. I'm a big Jordan Lucas guy. I've been sold on him since he got here. I wasn't sure what they were getting when they made the deal. That maybe he might just be a special teams guy. But he flies around. He really does. He likes to get in there and make some hits. I think he could be a really valuable, you know, in the box kind of guy in those roles. So I mean, to me, I'm sold. I'm sold on Lucas Locomotive. I think they need more of him. I was really perplexed there for a while when he seemed to be out of favor and they didn't have him in there. Before he got the singer today, like I said, there was maybe one or two plays that he'd like to have back, but overall, I thought it was pretty good.
I thought takeaway wise, where he got into trouble was again in those things where he was physically overmatched. I thought he looked in defending what he thought was his assignment. I felt like he played better than we saw him the last time he got significant time, and maybe he's taken a couple of steps forward in terms of understanding his role assignment.
Yeah, I think so, and. You know, maybe this is a young guy thing. Maybe it's something that the Chiefs are doing with some of their safeties, but we've seen it with Lucas. Eric Murray's had the problem every once in a while where whether it's that they're overplaying or they're just not getting in the right position, that sometimes that it ends up putting them into a situation where they don't have their momentum going the right way. They get a little bit off balance. And as a result, they either do miss some tackles or, they do get bowled over. People can get past them. Yeah, when that doesn't happen, they're making plays. But yeah, I mean, both those guys, I think have played pretty well, but every game, it seems like maybe there's just one or two plays that they'd like to have back.
But it's still something you will take, because I think they're improving. The thing I find interesting is we're sitting here talking about the defense. We haven't mentioned Chris Jones. He was pretty quiet today. His sack streak is over at what, 11 games, I believe. But still a phenomenal year from him. But honestly, I still think one of the best players on defense today had to have been Justin Houston. He seemed to be terrorizing Carr at times, and that strip sack was great.
Yeah, I mean, it almost seemed like that we finally reached the point today where the Raiders were really trying to take Chris Jones out of the play. And as a result, it allowed some opportunities for Houston and Ford on the outside. They both had, you know, picked up sacks, had some hits along the way too. In general, I thought they played, both of them played really strong. They definitely were, you know, part of the reason why the Raiders were turning the ball over so much in the first half, because they seemed to be around Carr throughout the entire first half. They got a lot of pressure there. I mean, that's what you got to do. I mean, you know, Justin Houston talked about it after the game. He said, hey, it's a lot easier when we've got a lead and we know that we can just go after the quarterback. Now they've had leads a lot of this season and they've gone after the quarterback, but the secondary hasn't been able to bail them out and help them out on the back end. And today they did. I mean, and whether it's just the addition of Ward, with the addition of Lucas, you know, the subtraction of Parker, maybe it's all those things, but, and maybe it's the opponent like we talked about today. But this is how you win football games. I mean, this is it. You get a lead, you allow your elite pass rushers, which this team has, to go after the quarterback. And as long as you don't give up big plays in the back end, you're going to win a lot of football games doing that.
Here's a stat for you I never expected to say tonight. Then this is from BJ Kissel, and I'm sure if I would have looked back, I would have thought about it, but Kansas City's defense never allowed Oakland past their own 32 yard or past Kansas City's 32 yard line.
It's pretty crazy.
I would not have guessed that either, but hey, good for them. And I think the big takeaway from, yeah, I'm sure Chris Jones is a little frustrated with himself, would have liked to gotten that next step, that next game under his belt. But like you said, having to pick from three pass rushers now, I think what that did is allow them to see that there are teams that will try to prioritize Chris Jones up top. And that despite Justin Houston's age and what some folks feel is that his falling performance, I think it goes to show you that just a little bit less attention allows the old veteran to still get a lot of work done. And he is not nearly past his prime, as a lot of folks have reported. I look for this to still be a formidable front no matter who they play next.
The one thing that they've got to do, which is, it's the one thing that's still looming out there and hanging over this team's head is they've got to figure out how to plug up the holes at the line against in the run game, because you saw them again today. There were occasions where there was just an absolute lane 5 feet wide for Doug Martin to go through. 21 carries, 100 yards. Yeah, I mean, the Raiders have played pretty well of late, but you're going to struggle as a defense if a running back gets 5 yards deep before anybody meets them. And that's where this team has struggled, at the point of the attack on the run game. I mean, I think that they're improving. I mean, I think with Lucas, with Murray, I think they're a better defense, and I think they would be with Barry out there too. They're better, at least in the back end against the run, but you can't do that. I mean, you just can't get in situations where you're giving teams 5 yard plays and chunks just because there's absolutely no run pressure at the point of attack.
Well, and you can't also give them you can't give them 7 or 8 yards on quick slants because you're playing off man coverage the entire game, which I'm very happy that they finally decided to shut that down. But that was one of the things that frustrated me early in the game, was they kept giving them quick ends and slants, and I'm just sitting there going, why are you playing off man so much? I don't care that you're up 14 points. You can't just let them march down the field. The defense still ended up getting a turnover, so it ended up not mattering. But come playoff times, you can't play defense like that.
I agree.
And since we all agree, let's take our second break right here. So the question becomes, big overall scoping thing, Matt, how much does a win like this, obviously gets an inferior opponent, but how much does this confidence boost help this team going into being prepared for whether it's the Colts or the Chargers or whoever may come to Arrowhead?
I think it's huge. I mean, I think you saw a couple of things after the game in the locker room. One was the offense did have its swagger back. I mean, even talked to Tyreek Hill, we were asking him about just the records that they reached today. Third highest scoring offense in league history. Travis Kelce had the tight end record for an hour. Hill had set the team, franchise record for receiving yards. Mahomes gets the 50. I mean, they were all over the place. There were some crazy stats that they reached today. And he's like, doesn't matter. I mean, it was great. It was fun. It was amazing, but doesn't matter if we don't win the Super Bowl. I mean, and that's what you want to hear from this offense. And the defense, was confident after this game too. And they need to. I mean, at some point you look at this defense and you say, you know what? I think there's at least eight or nine positions on this team where they feel like they've got pretty good guys there on defense. I mean, there's only been a couple of spots where maybe they've been weak. And you look at this and think this defense has got to be better than what it has shown, because it's got individual talent back there. And today, I think, was one of that could be an important day, because confidence is a huge part of defense. I mean, if you're not confident in yourself, you're not confident in the other guys around you, you're going to give up plays. I mean, you're going to get out of position. You're going to be playing back on your feet. You're not going to be as attacking as you need to be and as aggressive as you need to be. And if this game got this defense to get some of its confidence back, that's what they have to play with confidence in the playoffs. If they don't play with confidence, they're doomed. They're absolutely doomed.
I have to agree on that. Now, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole too much, but I have to ask the question. They were showing stats on the difference between the Chiefs offense and the Chiefs defense. You know, Chiefs offense is number one in the league in yards and points, and the Chiefs defense is 31st, and I think 31st in both of those categories. And it showed, I think, Bob Sutton's record as a defensive coordinator. Was this more of an opponent thing, or was this him changing things? And do you think that Reed has stepped in and made some personnel moves over the past couple of weeks? Because it really just looks like a different defense with the couple of young guys that they've been playing that they haven't in the past.
Yeah, it was really curious, talking with Orlando Scandrick this week, because, he mentioned that it was, Andy Reid came to him and told him that they were going to, bench him and give Tre'Veris Ward a chance. And I'm not saying that's what head coach is supposed to do, but, a little bit of a surprise there that Andy Reid took ownership of it and responsibility for it. And, and that it seemed like it was being communicated that it was less of Bob Sutton's choice and more of Andy Reid's choice. Maybe that's just Reid being the head coach and falling on it and owning it. But yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, you do get a sense that Reid maybe has taken a little bit more of a voice in the defense in the last couple of weeks. It could also simply be that the Chiefs reached a point in the season where, one, they felt like some of these young guys were capable of playing, and two, they just needed to get a spark on defense, and they weren't getting it from the guys that they had. So there was the two guys that got benched with Ron Parker and Orlando Scandrick were not part of the Chiefs' plans this year. They were not even plan B. They were more like plan C. So that's where I how much of, you know, what they've done over the last couple of weeks is just about the playoffs. How much of it is about 2019? I think it's a little bit of both, but I think that they did. They looked at this defense and said, look, we've got to mix something up here. And if it just means getting a couple of new bodies in there, that maybe that's what it takes to give this team some juice. To me, it was worth a chance. Whether it works or not, I think it was absolutely worth the chance to do it.
I agree, and it's a good thing for whoever their opponent may become. That's it for us today, folks. Welcome to the first day of 2019. Again, we cannot do this without you. We thank you for all of your listens and all your time put into this show. Really special year in 2018, and we hope to make it even better in 2019. Spread the word, have a wonderful new year, and we'll talk to you next time.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.